This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
How do you see God? What is your conception of God? A number of years ago, an author by the name of J.B. Phillips wrote a book entitled, Is Your God Too Small? In that book, he wrote about the different conceptions people have about God. For example, some see God as a resident policeman, and some see God as a Santa Claus. I don't know how you see God. I don't know your conception about God. But that's what we'd like to talk about today. What is your conception of God? Now, I want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on the telecast. And we're delighted to have those of you who are watching for the very first time. And those of you who watch all the time, we want to thank you for your encouragement. And we want all of you to tell someone else about Getting to Know Your Bible. Now today on our telecast, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. And I would like to underscore, I would like to highlight the word free, because not many things are offered free of charge anymore. When they are, there's always a little catch somewhere in the fine print. But we're giving it to you free because we want you to learn as much about the Bible as you possibly can. And in order that you might know more about the course, know how to receive the course and how to study the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading now from the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and verse 18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Do you know the Lord? How well do you know God? A little boy was out knocking on doors in his neighborhood. The people would answer the door, and he would invite them to come to the church that he attended. And he had a unique way of approaching it. Though he knocked on this lady's door, she opened the door, and his first words out of his mouth were these, "Ma'am, do you know Jesus?" Why, she said, "Young man, I want you to know I go to church every time the doors are open. I read my Bible and pray." He said, "Ma'am, that's not the question I ask. I didn't ask you if you read the Bible and pray and go to church. I asked, how well do you know the Lord?" Well, it's important for us to know God. It's important for us to know Him. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you know Him, the one true God, whom and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent." Our eternal destiny depends upon how well we know God. That's the reason we're told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And those who know not God will suffer a very, very fateful end. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 through 9. How well do you know God? Or what is your conception of God? Children have a sort of a limited view of God. I ran across some letters that children had written to God. Let me read just a few of these letters to you. Dear God, are you real? Have you ever wondered that yourself? And then the child went on, if you are, you better do something quick. Out of the mouth of babes. Here's another. Dear God, we're going on vacation for 2 weeks, so we won't be in church. I hope you will be there when we get back. By the way, when do you get your vacation? Pretty limited view of God, you see. Another one. Dear God, are boys better than girls? Now, that is a hot topic, isn't it? Then he says, I know you're one, but try to be fair. Well, God is fair. And here's another. Dear God, I wrote you before. Do you remember? I did what I promised, but you did not send me a horse yet. God through the eyes of little children. What is your conception of God? Some have a cruel view of God. And they say that man is predetermined or predestined to either go to heaven or to go to hell. And there's not anything that an individual can do about that because it's already been predetermined, been fixed. Well, what about that? This is the doctrine of unconditional election. That is, I believe in conditional election. The Bible teaches election. Make your calling and election sure. You see, there's something I have to do to have that calling in Christ Jesus. And I must obey Him and obey His will. As a matter of fact, we're taught in the book of 1 Thessalonians that we are called by the gospel. That's how we enter into our calling. It's the gospel call. But this idea that God either sends you to heaven or hell, whether you want to go to heaven or not, or go to hell, whether you're doing everything you can to go to heaven or not, is not a biblical teaching. That's a cruel view of God. Now, here's the facts of the matter from the Bible. All people are invited to come to Jesus. Not just a select few, but all people are. Listen to our Lord and when He gave what we refer to sometimes as His great invitation. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He invites you to come to Him. Whom does He invite? Just a select group? He invites all to come. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You see, God gives us volitional powers. That is, powers to make decisions, power of choice. And I can choose heaven or I can choose hell. Either one. I can choose to obey. I can choose to disobey. I can live to be for Jesus, I can choose to be against Jesus. God made us creatures of choice, creatures to make with the ability to make decisions for ourselves. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, Solomon said, my son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. You see, we can consent either to sin or not to sin. We can consent either to follow the crowd or not to follow the crowd that's doing evil. So we have that ability. Listen to Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, that's in Egypt, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But then Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua knew that you could make a choice, and it's a personal decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And I have to make that choice. That's a personal decision on my part. No one can make that decision for me. My wife cannot make it. My children cannot make it. My parents could not make that decision for me. God gave me the ability to choose. And so the idea that God is a God who has predestined people to either go to heaven or to go to hell is not Bible teaching. It violates the idea of man's volitional powers. I can choose to love you or to hate you, but I choose to love you. And many people would choose the opposite of their emotions. You see, God created us that way. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter and verse 21 says, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Well, one version says, how long are you going to limp along the fences? Well, you have to make a decision whether you're going to serve God or not serve God. And the decision to be made was between Baal and the God of heaven. So how long are we going to limp between the God of this world, who is Satan, or the God of heaven, who wants to do us good? You see, God made us that way, made us creatures of choice. And one decision can determine your entire destiny. We exercise that free will when in giving our lives to Jesus. Sometimes people say, well, why are people going to be lost? And they'll give a long list of things. They say, well, all these things are going to cause you to be lost. I want to suggest to you there's only one thing that will cause an individual in this age of the world to be lost, in the Christian age in which you and I live. And it's the rejection of Jesus. That's it. In John chapter 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, "And you would not come unto me that you might have life." You see, all I have to do to be lost, just refuse Christ, reject Jesus. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, Jesus said, "Have you not read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner." See, I have the option of accepting Jesus or rejecting Jesus. Now, what I do as a preacher is I try to persuade men, in light of the judgment to come, I persuade men to give their lives to Christ. And so I would urge you to make the right choice today, to make the right decision. But what is your conception of God? Is your conception that God is a God who's predetermined you're going to be lost? There's no need for you to try to do any better. I want to tell you that there is hope, because ours is a God of hope. And our God in heaven is saying, "Let the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely." Revelation 22 and verse 17. And he says, "Whosoever will." And you are a part of that whosoever. That means any whosoever at all can come to Jesus. And to say that if a person is destined to be lost, even in spite of the invitation of Jesus to come unto me that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, makes God a very cruel God. It would be like finding a little girl that's about 8 years old who has fallen in love with a certain doll in a certain store. And so you know that little girl loves that doll. She wants it more than anything. So that's all she thinks about. She actually dreams about it. And so one day you go down and purchase that doll for that little girl. And then you take that little girl outside and you tie her to a tree. Now that'd be child abuse, I know, but you see, that's not correct reasoning. You tie her to a tree, and then you hold the doll out in front of her and say, "Now come and get the doll, honey. This is the doll that you want." We say the child can't come. Why? Because you've restrained the child from coming. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And this idea that God has predetermined whether you're going to heaven or going to hell restrains you from coming. You're not restrained from coming. Jesus says, "Come," and that means that you have the power to do so. And you know what? He's saying that right now to you. So some of you that are watching right now, you know, you've been thinking about giving your life to Jesus. You say, "Brother Lambert, I've been watching your program for a long time. I got a letter from a sweet woman just a few days ago, and if I'm not mistaken, she's in the state of either Maine or Massachusetts. I'm not sure which one. And she said she was happy to see that I was back on the program and I was doing better physically. You know, my health was improved and the like. And she told me that she felt like that God had more for me to do, and I hope that she's right in time. I'm going to be praying that's right. I'd like to do this for years to come. But just suppose that I were to tell you that people like that can't come to Jesus because God's restrained them from coming, because God has said in His divine wisdom, you can't be saved. Folks, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is not willing that any individual, regardless of race, regardless of color, creed, national origin, whatever, God wants all men everywhere to be saved. What is your conception of God? Well, someone says that I think God doesn't even exist. Well, that's the atheistic view of God. And it's an unfortunate thing that some might say that they don't think God exists. They claim that He's not in existence. Well, if there's no such a thing as God in their mind, how can they say that He doesn't exist? They're living in a vacuum. And for them to say that He doesn't exist, they'll have to have been everywhere, because if they're somewhere that individual has never been, that place may be where God exists. And they cannot say that God does not exist because if there's one thing they do not know, it may be the fact that God is real, that God is an existent God, but they don't know that. They don't know everything. They are not omniscient. But the God of the Bible is an omniscient God. What is your view of God? The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 19 in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. What is your conception of God? Let me read the first verse of our Bible. And this is in your Bible too. And I suspect that those who not say they don't believe in God know this verse as well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is behind everything that exists in this world. When they knew Him as God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1, verses 20, 21. What is your view of God? Do you have the idea that there's just one God? And if so, you have the correct idea. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 5, he says, there is no God beside me. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and verse 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's just one God. A God in whom we live, move, and have our being. That's what the Apostle Paul taught to the men of Athens who were worshiping idols. And they had an idol to the inscription, with the inscription to the unknown God. And they were afraid they would offend some deity they didn't know about. So they erected that idol, and Paul told them, the one that you're ignorantly worship, I'm going to tell you about him today. And that's the God of heaven. There is only one God. And Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit make up the Godhead. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They are one in nature. That is, they're eternal in nature. They weren't one in their purpose, and their purpose is the salvation of the human family. And they're really one in teaching. It'd be difficult to conceive of God the Father teaching one thing, the Son teaching something that contradicts what the Father said, and the Holy Spirit teaches something that contradicts what the Father and the Son said. They all teach the same thing. Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. The world may believe thou hast sent me." What is your conception of God? You know, some see God through the eyes of plurality or pluralism, that they believe that there's more than one God. And they would say, "Well, you have your God, I have my God." But there are so many problems with that, it would take long, long time to discuss it. But God said when He gave the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And we're to not have any gods before Him even today. And there is only one God in whom we live and whom we move and have our being, who is above all, through all, and in you all, Ephesians 4 and verse 6. I want to read from the 115th Psalm just a few passages, because the writer is talking about those who worshiped idols versus God. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Listen, their gods of silver and gold, the work of men's hands, that is, man made them. "They have mouths, they don't speak. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, they don't hear. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they don't walk, neither speak through their throat." They're just dead objects, idols. "And they that make them are like them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." And some of our people around us today are serving idols. You say, "Well, this is the 21st century, and that's back in the Old Testament. We don't have idolatry today. Our idols are made out of fiberglass and wood, all kinds of metal today." What is an idol? An idol is anything that you give more of your time, your energy, your enthusiasm, your zeal, even your money too, than you do to God of heaven. It has become your idol. Covetousness, we're told in Colossians 3 verse 5, is idolatry. Loving things is a form of idolatry. And I rather suspect that if the Apostle Paul were to walk through the average town in the United States of America like he did in Athens back in the 17th chapter of Acts, he said, "I'm seeing all kinds of idols around me. And let me tell you about God." Now listen to the next verse in Psalms 115. "They make them that are like them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." In God we trust. That is on our currency that we carry in our pockets and our purses. You know where we need to have that motto? On our hearts. Rather than carrying it around in our pockets and our purses, we need to have the trust of God in our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What is your conception of God? Some try to localize God. Jonah tried to localize God. He tried to run away when God told him to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach to Ninevites because they were his enemies, and he didn't want to preach to them. He thought God just belonged to him and his kind. But God is the God of the world. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means men and women in North America, South America, Canada, Africa, China, all over the world, God gave Jesus for the whole wide world. Jesus did not die for Western civilization. He died for men all over this planet. And Jesus is not localized to any geographical location. Do you think God's word is out of date? Is that your conception of him? God's word is as up to date as today's newspaper. But we're out of date, people. I'd urge you to give your life to God. Give your life to Jesus. Follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And you will learn that we're to believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Christ, and we're to be baptized into Christ that we might be saved. We live a faithful Christian life. One day heaven will be our home. I want to thank you for watching our telecast today. And I would urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also, right now, pick up the phone, call for the free Bible correspondence course. Or if you prefer, you may take it online. And whatever you do, we want you to take it so you can learn more about the Bible. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.